Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Here's a three-pointer from A.J. Johnson, who knocks that down from the right wing. Good-looking shot from A.J. from 29 feet away.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Final seconds tick down, and the Thunder take down the Bucks 125-96 as Milwaukee drops its fourth straight.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, it wasn't pretty in Oklahoma City. I don't know how many of us envisioned that it would be when you saw the most recent injury report. I wouldn't even call it defending. Doc Rivers talked about it a little bit after the game as well and said, look, it was the right thing to do to get some rest for some of our guys. I went as far as if I had my way, I would have just sent Giannis and Chris and Brooke and Dame and potentially Bobby. Still not very clear if he was rejoined the team yet, but I would have just sent those guys directly to Charlotte. Here's your rest. Like, extra day in the hotel in Charlotte, but I figured it's a bad look, and I'm sure the ownership group would have received a fine for that, so I figured I'd save them some money. You know, Doc, before the game, is pretty adamant of, look, I get that everybody's going to say, well, the Bucks are just, it's over. You know, they're going to get blown out. They've given up on the game. Like, no, we expect to be competitive, and this is a big opportunity for the young guys, especially A.J. Johnson, Tyler Smith, to a lesser extent, Chris Livingston as well. I didn't really know what to expect from this because I talked about it a little bit on the pregame. We've seen Doc Rivers coached teams in these spots thrive and find success when they're kind of the underdog and counted out. I mean, you think back to that playoff series against the Pacers last year, and you think back to that Clippers game last year in terms of Bucks fans' experience of it with Doc Rivers, but he routinely did it with the Orlando Magic, even the Clippers on a few occasions. So I wasn't quite sure what we would get, but then in the very early going, it was just too much from the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, it is the best defense in the league for a reason. They limit your efficiencies on the offensive end, lowest effective field goal percentage against that defense than any other team in the league. They make it tough for you. They force a lot of steals, and we saw that again tonight. I thought a combination of that and the fact that the Bucks had none of their shot creators really available tonight made it even more difficult. And then you take away the rim protection that the Bucks had, and it just meant if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wins his assignment, he's getting to the rim untouched. And this was one of those games where you wondered if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was going to score 60 or more, finishes with, what, 34 points? But, it went the way, once you saw the injury report, it went the way you would have expected this one to go. So I don't know that it really serves anybody to dig into this one too much because, quite frankly, this is a starting lineup and a rotation that the Bucks hope to never see again this season. That, you know, we've kind of touched on what we've seen this weekend, and that's what I want to spend the bulk of this show getting into. So a lot of room for interaction with all of you that are listening to this because the trade deadline is a couple days away. I know everybody is an armchair GM. Everybody loves to go to the trade machine and fire up their trades. So I'm curious to hear what all of the Bucks fans, GMs in waiting, have looked into so far and what you expect to see. I mean, let's start with that. Do you expect fireworks, not only from the Bucks, from the league, once we get into this deadline a couple of days away now? Thursday afternoon at 2:00 is when the trade deadline is this season. And, you know, the other thing that I do want to spend some time talking about is what we've, you know, mentioned a couple of times already, and that was the Luka Doncic trade this weekend. But what that means for the Bucks, because, you know, Brandon, I've talked about a couple of times here. When it comes to the 2031 first round pick, if there is a move out there that is not a short term, you know, in terms of like this year and next and that's it, if there's a move out there that you feel like we will get this asset beyond that and this makes us better, I am not opposed to moving that pick. Like, I get people's pushback of, hey, that's the last asset you have, and at that point it could be entering some lean years here with the Bucks. I'd rather have that, especially since, you know, at this point, 2031 unprotected pick that the Bucks own, that's probably the best asset that may be on the market right now. So I get if you say, well, I'd rather keep that because maybe you could find the next Giannis. I just feel like, especially after seeing the Dallas Mavericks unprompted trade Luka Doncic, as long as you have Giannis here, and you heard the backlash from Dallas Mavericks fans, from Luka Doncic's own father, who said the Mavs did not treat him with respect and blindsided him. The reports that Luka was even crying upon hearing of the trade, that he did not ask for this trade. It makes you feel for Mavs fans, because I could not imagine putting ourselves in that spot. But it just, to me, reinforces, hey, as long as you got this guy here, you got to make the most of what you have. So nothing, to me, is off the table within reason, including that 2031 first-round pick.
Yeah, I completely agree. You and I think I talked about this on Friday, and I was a little bit hesitant on that pick because I said, well, it depends on what you're going to get in return for that pick, Justin. But after Saturday, I mean, I think everything's kind of on the table, or at least it feels that way. And then the next day, De'Aaron Fox heads out to San Antonio to team up with Victor Wembanyama, and Zach LaVine heads out to Sacramento. So I completely agree. And I said this yesterday, I believe, and I know I put this on my X account, was that you got to tip your cap if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan to both the front office ownership and to Giannis. For Giannis providing that loyalty to the front office, saying, hey, just go out and do your job. Give me the best opportunity to win a championship or championships, and I'll be here and I'll stay here. And he's done that. He's signed multiple extensions. I think under John Horst, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, I believe he's signed two or three extensions already, you know, under John Horst. And on the flip side, you got to give the front office, and I'm a big John Horst fan, but you also got to give him a lot of credit too, because he has consistently gone out and done, I think, in his role to improve this team, to put them on pace to win a championship, to give them the opportunity, the best opportunity. I mean, you go out and get a guy like Jrue Holiday after the Bogdan trade kind of fell apart. I know they were kind of around the same time, maybe the same night, if I can remember correctly. And you go out and you win a championship. You get a PJ Tucker when you know you need a guy to come off the bench or be in his role and play defense. And then you win a championship and it kind of fizzles out and guys are injured, and then you have to go out and improve the team, and you go out and get a guy like Damian Lillard, and you extend Bobby Portis, and you extend Brooke Lopez, and you extend Chris Middleton. It takes two to tango, you know, and sometimes it's more than that. But, like, this ownership group, this front office, and Giannis all deserve a lot of credit, because it's not as easy as what we, you know, as a lot of Bucks fans, we're spoiled. We sit back and we nitpick every little move, every little draft pick, every little trade that doesn't happen or buyout market that doesn't happen. But it's really difficult to be in the position that they're in, to have the talent that they have in Giannis and now Damian Lillard that they went out and acquired, to have those championship aspirations consistently put on your shoulders. And I think they've done it. I think they've done it well, a really well job, Justin. I mean, injuries are going to happen, right? Like that, you can't plan for that, you know, especially when it's your top two guys getting hurt. You know, Chris Middleton, you could put in there in the year after they won the championship. I don't want to take it for granted. I want to win a championship. I want to win every game that the Bucks play tonight. Maybe tonight I knew going into this one, Justin, it probably wasn't going to happen. But I was excited for this game tonight. I thought the young kid showed a lot of stuff that we wanted to see as Bucks fans that you and I had been talking about, and I know other fans have been talking about. So it was cool to see the AJ Johnsons and the Tyler Smiths play. But it's a challenging environment. That Mavs team was in the NBA Finals just a year ago, and they I don't want to say they blew it up, but I mean they gave away their best piece of that team from that Finals team. And I think, look, it's difficult, man. It's really hard to win championships. A lot of things have to fall in place.
So we do have to get in a break here. I'm not quite sure if we got an answer from you, though, on whether or not you would keep that pick or move that pick. But we do got to squeeze in one break here. So I do want to spend quite a bit of time as a trade deadline primer of sorts, but just recapping the weekend, what it means for the Bucks and what it means for where the league is headed, because you've heard one way tossed around quite a bit with this Luka Doncic trade signaling the end of something. We'll get into that conversation after this. 125-96, final score tonight. The Oklahoma City Thunder take down the shorthanded Bucks. We are just a couple of days away from the NBA trade deadline. It is Thursday afternoon. 2 o'clock Central Time is when the trade deadline comes here for the Bucks. So yes or no, you would or you would not trade the pick?
Yes, I would trade it. Okay. I think you got to maximize your opportunities, and I don't know if you're going to get a better opportunity, Justin, ever as a franchise with what you have here right now in Milwaukee.
In terms of, you still got Giannis. So, I get the theory of there's a chance the Bucks could have the two best players in a series here as long as they're healthy. So let's try to maximize that as best we can. I mentioned you hear something kicked around quite a bit these last couple of days. And that was this notion that this is the end of the player empowerment era. You know, it had gone too far, and now it's over, and this is a signal of that. Let's not...
It has gone too far, but that's a whole other conversation.
What?
The player empowerment has gone too far.
What specifically about it has gone too far?
The demand for trades, where they want to go, dictating where they want to play, who they want to play with. I think it's gone entirely too far. De'Aaron Fox just said, I'm demanding a trade out of Sacramento, and San Antonio's on my list.
He didn't demand a trade.
I didn't say he demanded. Okay, he requested a trade.
He requested a trade. He did not.
So they just decided to ship him off?
He said he was not intending to sign an extension with them.
But on his list, it was what team, and what team did he go to?
He could have signed with them in a year and a half, and the Kings would get nothing in return.
I suppose. But and that's kind of where the issue I have with the NBA, and it's fine. It's fine. But just I don't like how it works. I think the players have too much power.
Do you think the Mavs trading Luka Doncic signaled an end to that?
I don't know, man. That's a great point. A great question that you ask, because maybe. That is just a very weird thing to me. Like it's something we may never see again. Like the magnitude of a top five player in the NBA in his prime, without being warned. There's talks today. Chandler Parsons said he just bought a really expensive house and he was he broke down. Like I possibly, but I still think as long as LeBron James is running the NBA, you're going to have the player empowerment.
No. Okay.
I think that's where it started. I mean, I'm a certified LeBron hater. I get it, but that's kind of where it started, and it trickled downhill.
855-616-1620.
I know you like that one.
Is the Outdoor Living Unlimited, or is the Siding Unlimited talking text line to join us on the show tonight. Look, if you have takeaways from this game, hats off to you. I don't know how you could come with that, but we'll certainly take them. I do want to spend the majority of this show getting everybody set for the... And look, maybe the Bucks don't do anything, but at least level setting. Here's what we got to work with. Here's the spot they're in with the second apron. Here's what the first apron means. You got thoughts, let's hear them. Let's kind of use this as a workshop for the trade deadline. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington.
Hello.
Yeah, Dick.
Okay, I didn't know. Usually you make a little comment, but that's fine. empowerment, I don't know. I thought last night, and I might have missed this, but Justin, you mentioned something that Giannis said that this demonstrates that maybe the league a player isn't a villain if he stops his loyalty with the team and moves on to win a championship. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Where was that quote from? Because I couldn't find it today.
His post game.
Okay. His post game from when?
From last night.
Oh, from last night. Yeah. Okay, I didn't see that anywhere. So I mean, that's his take on it. Now, I'm kind of surprised the talking heads didn't pick up on that. And the next thing, you know, he wants Adam Milwaukee and everything else. But I think, yeah, Giannis, I think, is loyal to Milwaukee. And I think the maximum money he's ever going to get is going to be the next contract he signs. And I think that's what Thanasis had him sign this one the last time for, and I think he'll probably do it again. And what you're right, tonight there's nothing to learn from this game, but it should alert all Bucks fans that in 2029, 2030, this could be the standard here unless we do some things in the meantime. So, and I think the most important thing is to get us out of this apron situation so we have some flexibility. We're fortunate to have four billionaires owning this team, and they all want to win. So I don't think the purse strings will be locked up, but you got to have NBA permission to spend it. And I guess a couple of questions I have for you is to get underneath the apron, do you think you'd have to include that draft pick besides the player to induce someone to take it? And if that happens, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Okay. And if that would happen, that you get under the apron because you have to include Connaughton and this pick, does that see us up anything this year yet, or is it strictly for next year and through the summer? And if not, can we still deal some players here to pick up someone else? I'm more and more of the belief that we need to get a big man. And the guy I was thinking about today, the guy in Phoenix that's in Bud's doghouse, Jurkić, is that the way you say
that? That's his name, yeah.
Yeah. Would he be possibly a casualty there in a buyout situation? And if it's a buyout situation, what would we have to do to obtain a player like that?
Okay, so...
Well, I got several questions.
all very good questions, Dick. So the Nurkic part of it. No, I don't think he would be bought out. The Suns are actively trying to trade him, and the thought is, although it's starting to get really interesting in Phoenix, I do want to get to that in the latest reporting in a second, but the thought is, so last week, and we mentioned, is this something the Bucks would entertain as well? The Phoenix Suns took their 2031 first-round pick, unprotected, and traded it to the Jazz for three future, quote-unquote, first-round picks. But they're not great picks, and they were picks that have protections that at least one of them could turn into two future second-round picks. So you're basically getting, at best, three-quarters for a dollar, probably a little worse than that. But the thought is the Suns did that to have multiple assets, to say, okay, the 2031 is too valuable, and I think that's the spot the Bucks are in, too. It's too valuable to attach to Nurkic to just shed that money and move towards getting under the second apron. Let's turn this into something else that we can then attach maybe two of those picks, and we can save one for something else. But Jusuf Nurkic currently has one more year on his contract at $19 million next year. So the Suns aren't going to eat that money. He's not going to get bought out. They're going to actively try to trade him. What I would say in terms of a fit with the Bucks is, and I'm not saying this is you, Dick, but we've heard it from a lot of Bucks fans of Brooke Lopez is old and slow and it doesn't fit with this team. Well, if you think Brooke Lopez isn't the most nimble guy, I don't know that Jusuf Nurkić is the guy that I would be pivoting to, because he's a great rebounder. There's no rim protection. He's not a switchable guy. So all the same things that, as you mentioned, they need another big. He's not going to check off those boxes. So the other question, though, about if you can get under the second apron, what are the benefits besides just the summer? So you can sign a buyout player if you are under the second apron. And, I mean, the thing with it is, it's one out of, what, like eight guys that pan out in the buyout market. Like, you're usually getting bought out for a reason. And I think the current setup is if the guy's making more than $11.5 million, something like that, $12 million, whatever the mid-level is, you can't sign them if they're bought out. So players like Bruce Brown, where there is talk, hey, if they can't find the right trade, the Raptors, for Bruce Brown, they would entertain buying him out. That's a guy that I think would fit great with the Bucks. But as long as you're in the second apron, you can't sign those type of buyout players. It would basically just be mid-level, taxpayer mid-level, or, you know, veteran minimum guys, and those guys aren't getting bought out. So you can basically do nothing there. So it opens up the offseason where you have other things to use besides just your vet minimum deals, and it gives you that ammo too. But it's also important because I don't want to confuse everybody too much, but the way it's set up here is if you are in the second apron, like they have the repeater tax now where every year that you're in the luxury tax, your tax bill goes up more and more, that you're penalized. It's pretty similar in the second apron, where if you do not get out of it for, I think it was 3 out of 4 seasons, then your pick becomes frozen 7 years down the road. So, you know, we talk about the 2031 pick. If you're in the second apron this year, you finish the season in the second apron, your 2032 pick is frozen. So you have 3 years to get out of the apron, to stay out of it, that second apron. Otherwise, the pick is frozen. You cannot trade it. And if you don't get yourself out of that spot, it's automatically kicked to the back of the first round. So even if the Bucks finish with the third worst record in the league in 2032, congratulations. You're picking 30th or somewhere around there.
Yeah. Can I just got two quick questions, and then you cut me loose. The first is, if you had a choice to get another big man or another shooting guard, what would you take? And the second question, and then I'll listen to you on the radio part of this, is did you take what Giannis said in that post-game comments as a possible warning or just a statement?
So the last one's a little more complicated. I do want to play those comments, especially since you said you missed them. I do want to pull those up and play those in a bit here. So we'll save that.
Tremendous.
For when,
great.
Yeah, we'll save that for when we play those. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really torn because I think that's clearly the two big needs. Maybe not even necessarily a shooting guard. I think what's apparent is, well, number one, you can't only have two bigs on the floor. Like, we've seen the rebounding numbers really tank. Doc even talked last night about the fact that, look, we can't play zone when we're small. Like, it only works for us when we got two bigs out there. So that's gone. But I do think they would still love to have another facilitator and somebody that can be another guy that brings the ball up the floor, initiates the offense, you know, because right now you got Dame, you got Giannis. I think that the audience is certainly mixed in them, but Chris Middleton is one of those guys, especially for the second unit. But the rest of the group, Ryan Rollins is a guy that's a combo guard, and Doc has repeatedly said, we're trying to teach him to be a point guard. DeLon Wright is a point guard. That's not DeLon Wright's strength. Pat Connaughton, you know, we saw last year Pat Connaughton having to play point guard. It's not a natural fit. And you think back to that series last year against the Pacers. Granted, injuries were a part of it, but what we saw was, hey, just ball pressure the Bucks, and they have so few options that can handle that and break that pressure that their offense just kind of hits a wall. So I think it's kind of neck and neck, and I guess it depends on the day that my answer changes on would I rather look for another big that you could maybe do some more things with, or is it more important to say, look, I think we've seen we can figure out ways to make it work with these three guys, even if it means situational substitutions. We have the opportunity to play small. We can look for the spots to play Brooke with Bobby, and we can look for the spots where it's Brooke and we're playing smaller. I don't know what the other options are for that other issue that we talked about. I mean, you're getting more development from guys, but you need it now. That the longer we go on, the more I kind of lean towards that. I would rather have another facilitator and somebody that can handle the ball and beat some pressure
But I would take Butler or the guy from Phoenix, Beal. I just don't see them fitting up.
And I have and I've been told by a very plugged in and trusted source that there is famous last words. But there is no scenario and path where Bradley Beal ends up in Milwaukee. He does have the no trade clause. Yeah. But yes, I've been told. There's a lot behind that, but don't expect that to happen.
Yeah. And Jimmy would just be a rental, but we'd have to give up too much together.
Well, I don't know about that last part, you know, because I don't know what the market is at this point, and it certainly seems like the Miami Heat are just ready to wash their hands of it and be done with it. It wouldn't necessarily be a rental. I mean, look, Jimmy Butler wants to get paid, and I mean, let's say in theory the Bucks acquire Jimmy Butler. If it doesn't work out, you move on and you just created $48 million in cap space instantly for you this summer. You would certainly be under the second apron in that scenario. You could work out a sign and trade too and trade him to his preferred destination and get some type of asset back. Now that hard caps you at the first apron. But there's ways around it. Or if it does work out, you could pay him. But you're going to have two of your big three then are in their mid-30s or approaching their mid-30s, and we'd be talking about, I would guess Jimmy would want, even if he took a pay cut, at least $40 million per year. You'd be talking about $150 million, roughly, locked up between Giannis, Dame, and Jimmy Butler. And the second apron figure next year is $208 million.
Yeah, but don't forget here, we're not at the beginning of the tunnel. We're at the end of it. So that might be worthwhile doing it. I mean, we've got to admit as Bucks fans, in about at least 5 years from now, we're going to see more games like tonight than we've seen victories in the past. And that's a hard pill to swallow, but that's the reality of it.
Do you expect them to make a move?
I just can't see where it would come from, but look at what happened this weekend, all those surprises. And Horace I think he's of the opinion, and I think the ownership of the opinion is you got to do something. And especially after Giannis' comments, I want to hear where you go with that. And maybe they've heard them too. And look, you got to do something because the window is closing, and it can close pretty quickly if Giannis says, I want to go to be a championship contender. So I'm in for putting everything into it, but only getting guys that would really fit
sense.
In and be quality guys.
Yeah.
And that'd be tough. I don't know where that's going to come from.
Yeah.
Then I'd go with the guys we got. Get under the apron. That's number one in my mind.
Yeah. Well, it should be an interesting couple of days here, Dick. We'll see what happens.
Right. Thanks a lot, and I'm anxious to hear the Yana stuff.
All right, we'll see you, Dick. So let's do that. Let's step aside here, and I do want to, we only briefly touched on it, Brandon. So your thoughts on what Giannis had to say as well last night when he was asked. Everybody in the arena was asked about, hey, what did you think about that trade that sent Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers? Giannis talked about it for about 3 minutes, so we'll get to those comments coming up after this. All right, we are getting set to play some of that Giannis audio from last night, where he was asked his thoughts. I believe Eric Name asked him, hey, what did you think of the Luka Doncic trade? And Dick mentioned the high-level takeaway of what he said, but I did want to play those comments. We'll get to those in just a second here. I also mentioned, Brandon, that it's getting interesting in Phoenix because, so there's two additional reports that came out today. One from our guy, Casey Johnson, in Chicago, that pertained to the Bucks. But the Phoenix one, what's getting interesting is we just mentioned that trade that the Suns pulled off, what, a week ago, where they took their 2031 first-round pick, turned it into three very lesser first-round picks as additional ammo to, in theory, use, whether it was for Jimmy Butler or to move the Yusuf Nurkic contract and just have more wiggle room. Now the reporting today is the Suns are listening to offers for Kevin Durant, which many argued weeks ago. Look, this is what you need to do anyway. It is not working. Just start selling off assets. Get some of your picks back. Move on and play for down the road. They're reportedly doing that. My question is, well, why would you trade that pick in the first place then if you were just going to end up here? Like, the Luka Doncic trade is what made you think, you know what? Maybe it's time to move our guy too.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation there. Because when they constructed that team, I thought that was, I mean, and then Bud went there the following year, I believe. It felt like it was going to fit. Like, it felt like they had the spacing, and it was, you know, the Western Conference is obviously it's a tough conference, but that trade, I'm telling you, Justin, on Saturday changed this whole trade deadline. I firmly believe that. I don't think that if that move isn't made. I don't know if we see, you know, a whole lot of movement. Maybe we do. I mean, obviously, last year, but you mentioned it a couple of days ago, last year wasn't even that great.
Yeah.
The biggest trades were in December. And now we're seeing a lot more talking, a lot, you know, rumors are rumors. You know, you don't buy into everything that everybody's saying. But there's some validity, I think, to what, you know, these rumors are being talked about. Jimmy Butler kind of kicked it off when he wanted out of Miami. And then Saturday, we all kind of scrolling on our phones endlessly trying to make sure this wasn't a fake hacked account from Shams. And then the next day, not even 24 hours, you know, one of the NBA's up-and-coming stars, De'Aaron Fox, is on the move. So nothing's going to surprise me from here on out, Justin. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it is very interesting because it does seem like that was just kind of the move that needed to be made to kind of nudge others to, all right, let's, if they're doing it, let's do it too.
Yeah, might as well.
And yeah, I'd been told by someone else too that even a few GMs in the league had said, no, I think even before that, those trades, I think it's going to be a pretty active deadline. Everybody thinks, oh, well, the second apron and first apron. No, I think teams are going to be making moves. We teased the Giannis comments last night after the loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. So I do want to re-rack those and get your reaction to them. I know a few in the audience have heard it. Dick hadn't, and a few others had not heard this. It's a forgettable end to the game, so I'm sure you just tuned out afterwards. But here's what Giannis had to say last night when asked his thoughts on that trade.
I thought it was fake news. It's saying I obviously I've played against Luka a lot of time, and the AD, and all the people that was included in the trade. You know, this is the, you know, the world we living in. This is it's a business. You have to understand this. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe. If a five-time All NBA first team, a 25-year-old, a guy that was just made it to the finals 7 months ago, a guy that led the league in scoring, a guy that finished, I think, second or third in MVP voting, a guy that scored 70-something points, I think, twice or one time, I don't know how many times, a guy that had a 60-point triple-double, a guy that knows how to play the game of basketball. I keep going and keep going, an all-star starter, and one of the, a guy that averaged 34, 9 and 10. You know, but I'm not here to talk about Luka and how good he is. I think everybody in the world knows that he's one of the best players in the league. At the end of the day, I've said this in the past, you get evaluated every single day. You don't take nothing for granted. Being an all-star, you don't take it for granted. Being able to go out there and put the jersey and represent your team, you don't take that for granted. You know, being out there and represent your family, you don't take that for granted. Every second that you play in the NBA game, I love it. I try to play with joy. And at the same time, I understand the business of basketball, that sometimes teams got to make what the best moves that is good for their organization and for their position and for their own pursuit of greatness and championship. But at the same time, it goes both ways. We cannot have a double standard here. You know, when the teams make the best moves for them and they believe that they can get another player to win now, when a player believes that he can go to a different team and he believes that he can have a chance to win a championship, we cannot crucify the person and say that he's not loyal and he didn't do the right thing and he let everybody down, because the history I've showed you have to do what's best for you and your family, and you have to do what's best, most important, you know, to win. Okay, let's say something funny because I took it, Tag spoke very, very serious. Now that a European will be, I believe, you know, the face of the Lakers, this is something new for Europe. It's never happened before. We had Pau Gasol, obviously. He was a great player. And how was it? Vujovic? Yeah. Great guy, one of my close friends, but again, I mess up his name all the time. Now it's I just love it. I, you know what I want? I want Luka to the Lakers. I want Jokic to the Knicks. I want all the Europeans to go to all the big markets, you know, to see something incredible. This is what I want. This is my dream. But again, wish both teams best of luck. Wish both all the players, five players that took place. It was five players trade that took place. Best of luck with the journey moving forward.
Thank you.
All right. So the last part is what caught some attention. It was taken out of context by the aggregators of, oh, Giannis says he wants Jokic in New York and he's happy Luka's in LA. What does this mean for him? As he prefaced, he was clearly joking, especially with the I'm very good friends with Sasha Vujacic, but I don't know how to say his name part. But there was a lot of interesting nuggets in what Giannis had to say. I want to get to that part of this discussion and how it ties in to seeing Luka Doncic traded. When, again, all of the sourced reporting, and the Mavs essentially confirmed this at their press conference, he did not ask for this. And that's what we got. So I do want to get into that conversation coming up after this. Bucks lose in Oklahoma City to the Thunder, 125-96. No Giannis, no Dame, no Chris Middleton, no Brooke Lopez, no Bobby Portis. No surprise with the result tonight against a team that leads the Western Conference and is now 39-9 on the season. So we just played those comments from Giannis's post-game availability last night. And the two takeaways that I heard the most were the aggregation of Giannis is saying that he wants European guys to go to big markets. What does this mean for him in Milwaukee? And again, Giannis talking about you have to do what's best for you and your family. I get it's easy to look at the Bucks these past two seasons compared to what we saw from 2018 through the 2021-22 season and say, well, what's happened here? And look at remarks like that and say, well, this is Giannis saying, hey, guys, I'm ready to leave. But that's no different from anything we've heard from Giannis the past few years. The message has been consistent. As long as you show me you are doing everything you can to compete and put us at that level, I'm here. But when that stops and when we reevaluate things and say, you know what, we're not ready. We're ready to rebuild, and we can't be at that level. That's when the conversation changes. And I took it as Giannis just reaffirming that, but also pointing out, look, I mean, this is why I've said this for the longest time, is, you know, loyalty and all this, it's a two-way street. In that Luka Doncic did not ask for a trade. Luka Doncic was traded to Los Angeles. It is still perplexing that this is the move that the Dallas Mavericks made, and even hearing the remarks from Nico Harrison in that press conference yesterday where, I mean, that last line to where he said, I judge the long term 3 to 4 years from now, not 10 years from now, because they may bury us. Me and you, Jason Kidd, we may be buried 10 years from
Very
now.
Very possible.
I mean, I cannot imagine. I mean, I don't even really want to say it just because of the thought of it, but I cannot imagine to be a Dallas Mavericks fan. Like, if the Bucks were to trade Giannis for a player 6 years older than him for one first-round draft pick that isn't going to be that great, that's basically your return. Like, I cannot imagine what the Dallas Mavericks are going through right now. And factor in a 25-year-old player that they did this for who the company he's in and everything that he's accomplished his first handful of years in the league is the likes of Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain. And you can make the same case for Giannis of late, his trajectory a little different. But to me, it's you hear those or you see those types of moves. Giannis, from the start, look, I'm trying to win. You do the same. And he's just pointing out, this is the reason why I've said that. Because if I were to say, you're not matching my expectations anymore, I'm looking to move somewhere else, how am I the villain when we saw the Mavericks do the same thing to Luka Doncic when he just led them to the finals less than a year ago?
I think you're spot on, Justin. This, I saw that yesterday from Eric Name, and I saw a bunch of people take it and run with it, which is no surprise. People have been trying to get Giannis out of Milwaukee since 2018, so it's no surprise. It's been nothing different that he has said before. After season, you know, disappointing seasons, after winning the championship, after he won the NBA Finals, he told John Horst, we need to do it again. Like, and I think as Bucks fans too, and I went on a little bit of a ramble to begin this program. The front office has done good by Giannis. They've held their end of the bargain, in my opinion, when it goes to putting winning formula together on the court and trying to put the best team surrounding Giannis. They've done that. You know, they hired Adrian Griffin, and they realized quickly it was a mistake, and they rectified that mistake. And we you know, mentioned Damian Lillard and Drew Holiday, and they've kept Chris Middleton happy. So it's you want to win, you know, obviously stack the championships, but it's a lot easier said than done. So I'm not worried about Giannis leaving. We got some concern in the YouTube chat. One guy is curious if Giannis is going to the New York Knicks. No, he was completely tongue-in-cheek that last part of what you heard in the audio. He mentioned that he was joking. I think the big part of it was Luka's his friend, and I think that first part of that quote where he's talking about you cannot crucify the person and say he's not loyal and did the right thing, I think he's just probably sticking up for his friend in that moment, because a lot of fans are probably wondering, you know, why would you get rid of that guy in his prime and all the good that he can bring to an organization. So I think it's more of Giannis just being a friend, but this is nothing, Justin, that Giannis has not said before. I mean, everything that he said last night to Eric Name of The Athletic is everything that we have heard over and over and over again, and he has said it. And I'm going to take Giannis for his word. I mean, he is true to his word. You talk about loyal. That there's nobody more loyal than that man when it comes to family and basketball, on the court, off the court. If the Bucks continue to do what they have done, and they have a big task in front of them with this trade deadline that you and I have been talking about, he's going to stay in Milwaukee. And, of course, there's always a possibility that at some point in his career that doesn't happen and he goes elsewhere. I don't ever see Giannis leaving. And I could be dead wrong. I just don't ever see it. So as long as the front office continues to do what they're doing, I think Giannis is going to be here in Milwaukee and we're going to be competing for championships down the road. I got a question for you, though, Justin. Would you put, and I know this isn't, I'm trying to think of comparisons, and again, this isn't really on par with the Luka trade, but is the Ray Allen for Gary Payton about as close as we can get as Bucks fans when it comes to that trade? Because Ray Allen wasn't a top five player, but he was an ascending player. Gary Payton was obviously a descending player at the time, and I'm not saying that's what Anthony Davis is now, but I think it's about the closest thing we can do compared to as Bucks fans. And I remember, Justin, I remember to this day, I was in like fifth grade. I remember where I was for that trade. I remember exactly where I was. I remember running to my friend's house down the block. To your point, I cannot imagine being a Dallas Mavericks fan right now. I don't know if I'd like basketball anymore, to be quite honest with you. If the roles were reversed and I was a Bucks fan and they gave away Giannis at 25, 26 years old, I don't know if that's something I could stomach going forward. I'm with you. I feel awful for them.
Yeah, I mean there really is no comp, you know, like
there isn't. No, there's not.
Like, I guess it's a hybrid of, for very different reasons, but it's almost a hybrid of the Ray Allen trade and the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar trade, because like Luka is at that level more so than Ray Allen. And look, I get Kareem asked for a trade, and that was not what Luka did. Same with Ray Allen. But you also kind of knew it was definitely the back nine for Gary Payton when you got him. And he's 31 years old. He's unfairly been labeled as a big injury risk. He's been pretty consistent the past couple of years, Anthony Davis has. So I would still put Anthony Davis right now above the Gary Payton that the Bucks got back in that trade, but it just kind of speaks to how bizarre this was, that it came out of nowhere. There was no reporting, no leaks on it, because this is something that was basically just drummed up between Rob Pelinka and Nico Harrison, and you've seen a ton of conspiracy theories coming out of this because of the relationship both Nico Harrison and Rob Pelinka had with each other as their relationships throughout the years working together with Kobe Bryant is what brought them together. And it was Nico Harrison that called Rob Pelinka and basically offered it to him without shopping the pick. So, yeah, I don't know that we'll ever see anything like this again, but it did in many ways spark the, well, is this it for the player empowerment movement? I do think it all of a sudden got the wheels moving for a lot of teams to say, all right, if they're doing that, let's do this. And hence, one day later, I mean, you had a strong sense it was going to be coming, given DeJounte Murray, given De'Aaron Fox saying, I'm not going to sign an extension here. So you run, maybe we'll see the trade this summer. Maybe it's going to be soon, but that came immediately. And now you wonder if it's just going to be a flurry in these next couple of days. I mentioned before there was a report from Casey Johnson who had said, look, I got some more details on the Zach LaVine trade, and it involves the Bucks. That the Bulls decided, according to Casey Johnson, a very well-sourced reporter, that the Bulls had decided, all right, let's start to look for offers and move Zach. And they aligned on the move with the Kings because they felt like they wanted to get that type of mixture of getting basically role players and picks back in return. Now, again, as we kind of talked about, look, if that 2031 pick was made available by the Bucks, that's the best asset on the market. So here, Casey Johnson's exact wording: the Bulls also engaged with Milwaukee on Zach LaVine, but ultimately shifted their energy and focus to that three-team trade and referenced the mixture of assets they got back. If you get that 2031 pick, that is better than anything they got in the trade now. It's better than anything that was on the market. And I mentioned the difficulty in saying, look, would you trade this pick or not, is you need a little more context. Like, you got to tell me, what am I trading it for? And that's where we kind of fall short of, well, I don't know, but give me the outline of the player that you would trade it for. To me, not Zach LaVine exactly, but that's the type of player that you would trade it for, who is still relatively young enough. I think Zach LaVine's 29. Still young enough. You would have team control for a couple of years. This isn't just he's in his mid-30s. It's a year or two that we have. And then, well, we tried for 2 years. Like, it at least gives you that. It's going to make it very tricky with the second apron and complicating that, because with three guys alone, and whoever it is you bring in at that salary range, Giannis and Damian Lillard, we're talking like $150 to $160 million for just those three guys. Now you got to worry about the other 11 guys on your roster and try to keep it under $208 million. So that's the challenge, but that's the type of move that if this is made available to me, I'm thinking long and hard about it. And according to, like, we heard the rumors for weeks, Bucks are interested in Zach LaVine. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And according to Casey Johnson, there was a lot of fire there, that the Bulls were actively engaged with the Bucks leading up to the trade that sent Zach LaVine to the Sacramento Kings as a replacement for De'Aaron Fox. There were ongoing discussions to get that deal done. And again, I'm not saying Zach LaVine or bust, but that's the type of move when I say, look, if it's the right move, if it gets you younger, better, you think, and gives you something for a couple of years, I am unmarried to that 2031 pick.
Yeah, I'm unmarried to it as well. If I would not, I think I tweeted out that I'm respectfully listening when the Zach LaVine rumors began to fall, and when Casey Johnson's name was attached to it, I immediately bought that there was some validity to that. I think, Justin, if it were up to me, and I'm definitely not a NBA general manager, nor will I ever be one, I want an athletic big. I don't know who that is. I don't have any names necessarily for you to throw out there because I don't know who's technically going to be on the market. But for me, it's an athletic big, somebody that can, you know, switchable out on the perimeter, you know, able to, you know, establish the two-man game with Damian Lillard. That would be my ideal scenario for this Bucks team. I don't know who that is. Again, I don't know where they're going to go with that. They need some athletic, you know, athleticism into this lineup. We saw, you know, stretches last night against Memphis when Ryan Rollins was out and Giannis was out and Ajax was out. It's just a very unathletic team. To me, that's where I would go if I had the ability to. I'm not married to that pick either, like you said. It's just got to make sense. You can't just throw the dart at the wall and pray that it sticks and it falls off, you know, at the end of the season. And there goes your one true asset that you had, and now you're kind of just SOL. It's got to make a lot of sense. It's got to make sense, in my opinion, for the timeline that we're on right now with Giannis and Damian Lillard going into this year and going into next year. I don't want a rental. I don't want somebody that we're going to hope and pray comes in here and changes everything about whatever that, you know, that we need to have improvements on. I want it to be, and maybe that's asking too much, but I think John Horst and company have to be very smart with that pick and what they bring in. And to me, that's where I would go with that pick, is the athletic big.
There was some history made in the game between the Suns and Portland Trailblazers. We'll get you up to speed on that. And news out of New Orleans, because that is an interesting name in the days leading up to the trade deadline here. These are the types of teams you start to monitor. The New Orleans Pelicans. We'll explain why after this. All right, a couple of forwards that have been linked or at least brought up around the Bucks. Brandon Ingram is an interesting one. New Orleans.
Give me that one.
What?
I said, I'll take him.
So New Orleans is an interesting team to monitor because we thought Brandon Ingram was going to be traded in the offseason. He was not. He's due a contract extension. It doesn't sound like it's coming here. And why they're interesting and a team to keep an eye on is because they have severely fell short of expectations so far this season. Injuries have been a big piece of that, certainly. But what happened last week makes them, you would think, even more likely to just say, what do you want? We're listening to anything. And what happened was the DeJounte Murray injury ruptured his Achilles. It's out for the rest of this season, out for a large chunk of next season, too. So the thought is, I don't know if next year's the bounce back year for the New Orleans Pelicans. So it does seem like there could be a bit of a fire sale going on there. One name that came out today from Mark Stein, actually Jake Fisher, Kyle Kuzma of the Washington Wizards, and this is another name we have heard linked to the Bucks a couple of times the past few years. It's kind of like the old meme here, Brandon, when you say, look, I want an athletic big. I'm not sure who, but I want a guy that can defend. He can play the forward position, a big forward, gives you a little more athleticism. The thought is, hey, best I can do is Kyle Kuzma.
I know. I saw that pop up today, too. And when I was going the last segment, his name popped into my head. I guess it just depends, man. It depends on price. And I know, obviously, they would have some work to do.
$23 million that he is making. And you got to shed about $6 million more than you send out in a trade in order to be able to aggregate deals because of being in the second apron. But, you know, you look at the oft-discussed contracts for the Bucks that have been kicked around. Those are tallying up to close to about $50 million. You look at the Wizards and you say, well, Kyle Kuzma and our old pal Malcolm Brogdon would add up to about $5 to $6 million less than that figure, and in theory would give you a forward and would give you some more help in the backcourt and somebody that can initiate the offense. But it's going to be, I think, a very hectic trade deadline. Maybe not major moves. I think we're going to see a lot of moves. Even if it's smaller stuff like we saw last year with the Bucks saving a little bit off the tax bill and bringing in Pat Beverly, I think you're going to see a ton of stuff like that too, because teams are going to try to get under the apron and figuring out what this means to set themselves up for the summer. Wednesday night, Bucks in Charlotte to take on the Hornets. 6 o'clock tip time, and as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.